So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within. Renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 7. After a few hours, Stiles grows bored with his book and starts playing on his laptop, but he doesn't make Derek stop reading or demand to be entertained. Peter gets home not long afterwards, and Stiles goes into the kitchen to start the chicken marinating. When he's done with that, he says, "Come on, let's spar," to Derek. Derek puts his book aside, feeling like he could use some exercise. "Okay," he says, rolling his shoulders to get the kinks out. He approaches Stiles cautiously, keeping Peter's warning in mind. Stiles faints and jabs a few times, and Derek starts to relax. He's fast, but he's no werewolf. That's what he's thinking, until Stiles uses a chair to get a foot up, wraps his legs around Derek's shoulders, and somehow flings him onto the floor. Derek hits hard and gives a grunt as the air is driven out of his lungs, and Stiles straddles him with two fingers pressed into his carotid artery. "Boom! You're dead," he says, smirking. Derek grabs him by the wrist and heaves himself upwards, throwing a laughing Stiles off of him. The teenager regains his balance easily, bouncing on the balls of his feet, and gives Derek a little, "Come on," gesture, which is way too sexy for Derek's comfort. Derek approaches more cautiously this time, and they trade blows several times before he gets Stiles pinned up against the wall, his forearm pressed against the back of Stiles' neck. "Nice," Stiles says, squirming to get free in a way that has Derek thinking desperately about baseball statistics. While he's distracted, Stiles hooks a foot around his ankle and spills them both onto the ground. Derek winds up face down on the floor and absurdly glad for it, with Stiles on top of him and an arm around his throat. Derek puts a hand on the floor and pushes up hard, tossing Stiles off him again. This time, Stiles lands on his back, and Derek is quick to press his advantage. He grabs Stiles' wrists and pins them to the floor above his head in one hand, then presses his claws into Stiles' throat. "Now you're dead," he says. "Not for long," Stiles says, and unclenches one of his fists. Derek has just enough time to see the magical symbol there before he goes flying backwards. He hits the wall but bounces back, ducking Stiles' next blow. Stiles jumps onto his back, locking his legs around Derek's waist and his arms around Derek's throat. "Jesus fucking!" Derek chokes out, and Stiles laughs. Hearing that, Derek has no remorse about throwing himself backwards into the wall. Stiles lets go just in time, twisting out of the way before impact. Derek clotheslines him, and he goes stumbling backwards but manages to convert it into some sort of somersault, springing back to his feet. "Enjoying yourself?" he asks Derek, with an impish grin. Derek takes him in a full tackle, and Stiles hoots with laughter as they spill to the ground. He struggles to get free, and they wrestle back and forth for several minutes. Finally, Derek manages to flip Stiles over and twist his arm up behind his back. "Uncle! Uncle!" Stiles says, still laughing. Derek lets him up, and he rubs his shoulder. "Glad I don't do hand-to-hand with too many werewolves." "I wouldn't think so," Derek says. "Actually, I don't do hand-to-hand with much of anybody besides Peter, for training," Stiles adds. "I fought with a few hunters, but when things go well, it never lasts long." He gets back to his feet and stretches, his shirt riding up to reveal the last inch of his stomach. Derek tries not to stare at it. "Let's go again." "So, what's on your mind, nephew?" Peter finally asks as they sit down to dinner. "Figuring that your adopted son's butt probably isn't the correct answer," Derek decides to actually tell the truth. "Just, Laura's turned some betas. They're nice people, I guess, but I hate having them around. I hate trying to be all friendly and familiar with them. They aren't my pack. I wish Laura had just left well enough alone. From Laura's perspective, it makes sense, Peter says. Keeping the alpha power without the support of betas is quite difficult. I'm surprised she managed it as long as she did. If she's going to settle onto a territory as coveted as Beacon Hills, she would need them. I know why she did it. That doesn't mean I like it. She's bought this big house, and we're supposed to all live together and be a pack, and I can't stand it, Derek blurts out. It's not for any real reason. Like, yeah, Isaac leaves hairs on the sink when he shaves, and yes, Erica demands my opinion on every outfit she wears. There are little annoyances like that, but it shouldn't add up to this. It shouldn't add up to my wanting to beat them all into a bloody pulp and throw them out. Peter gives a snort. Cohabitating can be difficult even for people who love each other dearly, he says. How long have they been around? She started turning them about a year ago, but we only got the house 3 months ago. So you're all still getting used to each other. Peter gives a shrug and says, I'd say to maybe address their behavior with them, but I don't think their behavior is really the problem. If they stop doing the things that are currently annoying you, you'll just find new things to be annoyed by. It goes deeper than that, to the fact that you don't want to pack at all. Derek pushes a pepper around on his plate and says, Yeah. I can't fix that for you, Derek, Peter says quietly. I wish I could. Maybe someday you'll feel all right with it. Maybe you won't. All I can say is that for now, I think it's fine to keep your distance, to allow them in slowly. They're Laura's betas. They're not yours. You don't have to live with the rest of them if you don't want to. I tried telling Laura that I didn't want to live in the house, but she got... Derek sighs. She got pissy. She says I should be supporting her, and asked when I'm going to get over my hang-up about it. Your sister sounds like a bitch, Styles says with his mouth full. Derek scowls, defensive for no reason. She didn't say it like that. I mean... She says she wants me to be okay, and she's trying to make a family, a pack, so we can all be safer together. She thinks that if I keep pushing people away, I'll never get better. Maybe she's right. He picks up his fajita, and then adds, But she also can be kind of a bitch.
The problem, nephew, is that Laura is an alpha, Peter says. Even before your mother's death, Laura had that take charge, full steam ahead sort of attitude. She thinks you can fix that sort of deep emotional scarring just by wanting to. That she should be able to say, spend some time with the pack and you'll be okay with them. It doesn't work like that.
It did for her, Derek mutters.
Derek, I can't explain how Laura thinks or feels. Maybe she genuinely is fine with all of this. Maybe she just fakes it really well. But just because Laura feels a certain way doesn't mean you can force yourself to feel the same way.
Yeah, Derek sighs. So what do you think I should do?
I think you should get an apartment and tell Laura that you're not comfortable around the pack right now. You'll come over to help with training. Please tell me she's training them. Peter adds, and Derek nods. And that you'll be there for dinner a few times a week.
She won't like that, Derek says.
A good compromise leaves everyone unhappy, Styles says, and Peter gives a snort of laughter.
I guess I'll talk to her and see how it goes, Derek says.
Just don't let her walk all over you just because she's your alpha, Peter says.
Derek doesn't reply to that. And after a few moments of uncomfortable silence, Styles says,
So, hey, want to hear about our latest murder?
And Derek laughs despite himself. After dinner, Peter says,
All right, I'm going out. Shoshana has some things I need to pick up. I'll be late, so don't wait up.
Okay, have fun, Styles says.
Peter gets up and grabs his jacket and heads for the door. after it closes behind him. Styles says, Josh is one of the people who makes IDs for us. She's why we're in Seattle, actually. She needed updated pictures of us to make our new IDs. We decided to crash for a week and then head for Sacramento, where our next target is. She's one of Peter's fuck friends, so presumably he's gonna stay the night.
Uh-huh.
Derek says. Styles stands up and starts loading the dishwasher. Derek tears his eyes away from Styles' ass and says,
Let me do that. You cooked. I'll clean.
Okay, Styles says, clearly not about to argue. Derek rinses the dishes and gets everything loaded into the dishwasher. So, what do you want to do now? We could watch a movie or find something on TV or play cards or something. Or we could have wild, crazy sex. Derek practically chokes on the water he had just taken a drink of.
What?
I'm just putting it out there, you know, as an option, Styles says. You know, if you... Derek has him pushed up against the wall and is kissing him before he can finish his sentence. He doesn't even entirely intend to do it. It happens independent of any thought. Styles makes a little noise against his mouth, and then he's all in, sloppy and enthusiastic, grabbing a handful of Derek's hair. Derek hikes him up against the wall, fitting his hips against Styles and rocking into them. That makes Styles say, Oh, hell yes! And throw his head back. Derek wastes no time pressing his face into the crook of his neck, breathing in Styles' scent and nipping at the skin. Oh, fuck, kiss me some more, Styles pants. And Derek is happy to oblige. He gets his hands underneath Styles' shirt, stripping it over his head, and starts them towards the bedroom. A minute later, Styles is on his back on the bed and Derek is on top of him, and they're still kissing. Styles' hand clutched at the back of Derek's shirt, and they kiss until they're out of breath. Styles is a little glassy-eyed when Derek pulls away to let him get some air, nuzzling at his neck again. Derek can't stop touching him, stop running his hands over all that glorious skin. He pops the button of Styles' pants, pressing his hand into the front of them. Oh! Styles gasps out, fingers digging into the back of Derek's neck. Hang on a sec, he pants. Derek leans back, suddenly feeling uncertain.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just... Styles blinks rapidly, and then blurts out, I'm a virgin. Derek feels his jaw sag slightly.
You're a what?
Is all he can manage. Styles moans and rolls onto his side. Oh my god, I can't believe I just said that out loud. Oh fuck, I am the world's biggest idiot. It's just, I've never done this before, and I really want to, but I'm also kind of freaking out. Like, you might guess that I don't have the world's most active social life, what with moving apartments every 2 weeks and cities every 2 months, and I... The words are tumbling out of his mouth as his face floods red with embarrassment. When I was 16, Peter kind of gave me the talk, you know? And he was like, if I wanted to have sex, that was totally normal and healthy, but at the same time, kind of inadvisable given my career choices. Then, when I was 18, he mentioned that if I wanted, he could set me up with a professional, but I didn't really want my first time to be with a professional. So I was like, nah, I'm good. I'll just see what happens. Like, Peter's made friends in the trade. He has a few people that he knocks boots with, so I figured I'd find somebody like that at some point. Then I met you, and I was immediately like, oh damn, I want to have sex with that dude immediately. And I didn't really know how to act, so I just acted like myself. Peter's always said that the key to grifting is to act like you know what you're doing, even if you don't. Pretend you're confident all the time. So I figured, you know, I'd give it a whirl. Which seems to have worked, because here we are with half our clothes off, and I still really want to. But I'm also really nervous, and I don't know where I'm supposed to put my hands, and I'm probably gonna come in like 12 seconds. And I'm gonna stop talking now. He pushes himself up onto his elbows, looking mortified. So, now that I've completely ruined any chances you still want to have sex with me, I'm just gonna go somewhere. Not here. Derek puts his index finger over Styles' mouth to make him stop talking. There's a part of him that wants to laugh, because Styles is hilarious and adorable. But he squelches it, because that would only make Styles feel worse. When Styles falls silent, he takes his hand away, and then leans in for another kiss. Softer. Do you still want to?
Oh God, yes.
Styles manages, his voice trembling slightly. Derek kisses him again. It's okay to be nervous. And it's okay if you come in 12 seconds. We've got all night. Another kiss. And you can put your hands wherever you want.
On your butt?
Styles asks hopefully.
Because your butt is, like, top-notch, dude.
Now Derek does give a snort of laughter. Yes, Styles, you can put your hands on my butt while we have sex.
Awesome!
Styles says, the flush fading out of his cheeks as the blood is redirected south.
I'm sorry I freaked out.
You don't have to be sorry. I'm glad you said something. Let's just take it a little slower, okay? And if you want to stop, just say so. It's fine, I promise.
Yeah,
Styles says.
Yeah, slow. That sounds good.
Okay. They kiss for a long time, and Derek doesn't try to get Styles' pants off, focusing his attention above the waist. Styles loosens up a bit and helps Derek peel his shirt off, and he does grab Derek's butt. A lot. Derek finds that he likes it, chuckling into Styles' neck the first few times it happens. Styles doesn't come in 12 seconds once Derek gets his pants off, but he doesn't last a lot longer. Derek assures him again that it's fine. They have time. They make out some more, and he leaves a little row of bruises on Styles' neck that he's really enjoying looking at. They have time for a second round, and then later, a third. Sometime later, the room is dim, and they're listening to the rain that started outside.
That was awesome,
Styles mumbles, staring dreamily at Derek's face. Derek traces a finger along Styles' jaw. Glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, it was, like, awesome.
Styles yawns.
Thanks. Not for the sex, although, you know, thanks for that, too. But for not making fun of me while I freaked out.
You're welcome. It shouldn't be. Derek shakes his head. It shouldn't be a thing. I don't know. My first time, I was nervous, too. Too nervous to even say I was nervous, because I thought she might think I didn't want her, and I didn't want your first time to be like that.
Sorry, dude. That sucks.
Yeah. Derek hesitates, his thumb rubbing over Styles' lower lip. You know that I'm only staying a few days, right?
Yeah, I know,
Styles says, and Derek relaxes a little.
I mean, that's okay, isn't it? That's what it's like for Peter with his friends. He just comes to see them sometimes. I don't think a regular relationship isn't something that would work for either of us. Or not for me, at least. I guess maybe it would for you. But from everything you said at dinner, I kind of got the impression that it wasn't your thing.
Yeah. Derek is nearly overwhelmed with relief. There are a lot of reasons why I couldn't do that.
So it's all good, right? We'll see each other every few months, hang out, give each other some mind-blowing orgasms. Though, I guess I might be giving myself too much credit.
Styles looks anxious again.
You did have a good time, right? I mean, you seemed to be having a good time. And I figure you wouldn't have been so eager to have round three if you hadn't enjoyed round two, but I probably shouldn't just assume that, and earlier you stopped me when I got going like this. Why aren't you stopping me now?
Because you're adorable, Derek says, and Styles edges towards a pout. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed myself. I plan on enjoying myself tomorrow, too.
Awesome,
Styles says, and then yawns.
Okay, better get a good night's sleep, then.
You'll stay in here with me? Or did you want to use the sofa? It folds out. Derek hesitates. He hasn't slept in the same bed as somebody else since Kate. Do you want me to stay?
Yeah, you smell great. I want to cuddle with you.
Derek smiles again. Then I'll stay.
Okay.
Styles yawns again.
Good night.
Peter is drinking coffee and reading the news on his laptop the next morning when Derek emerges from Styles' bedroom. Derek flushes pink when he sees Peter, and although it's tempting to embarrass him, Peter holds back. He thinks Derek and Styles will be good for each other, so he doesn't want to do or say anything that might make them not want to spend time together. Instead, he just says, "Good morning, nephew. There's coffee and pastries." "Thanks," Derek mumbles, going for the food. Styles emerges behind him, rumpled and yawning. "Morning," he says, in the brightest, most cheerful tone that Peter has ever heard from him before noon. He again resists the urge to tease. "Oh, food! Awesome! I'm starved!" He drinks half a cup of coffee and then crams half a Danish in his face. Derek is watching him like he can't believe he's attracted to him, and Peter keeps trying not to laugh. "Hey, so," Styles says through a mouthful, "how'd the IDs come out?"
"They're fine," Peter says. "Shoshana did excellent work, as always."
"Cool," Styles says. "We got plans for today?"
"Just the usual downtime activities," Peter says,
which entails mostly working out for Styles and researching future targets. "Awesome! 'Cause I'm going to be in my room having sex all day, because sex is awesome!" Derek flushes bright pink.
"Oh my God, Styles, seriously?"
"What?" Styles asks. "It's not like he doesn't know we're having it. Werewolf senses and all that."
Peter takes a sip of his coffee and says,
"I'm pretty sure a blind, deaf person would have been able to sense the sexual tension you two were radiating yesterday."
"See?"
Styles says, and Derek just groans.
"In any case," Peter says, amused, "I don't have any plans for today, so try not to be too loud about it."
"Roger that," Styles says cheerfully, and then says to Derek, "Let's go take a shower," before dragging him out of the kitchen.
Peter is worried that Derek's departure will upset Styles, but it doesn't.
"We talked it out," Styles says, when he sees Peter watching him. "I mean, neither of us are really into the idea of a relationship, you know. He'll come back around the next time he needs a break from Laura."
Peter nods, although privately he thinks that Styles and Derek both need to look up the definition of relationship. They couldn't possibly have spent 3 entire days having sex. Nobody's stamina is that good. Which means they were probably also doing a lot of cuddling, pillow talk, and, from the sound of it, watching idiotic YouTube videos together. But it's not his business, really. And if Styles and Derek need to work into this at their own speed, that's fine. They head south to Sacramento. It's their 2nd kill since Boston, and they're both still feeling overcautious. They track the hunter for weeks, watching for a weakness, waiting for an opening. He makes a trip to Reno every weekend for gambling and comes back late. Styles uses magic to sabotage his car. They make quick work of him there on the side of the road, pin the obituary to his chest, and are in San Francisco by sunrise. Nobody on the Hunter forum seems to feel particularly sorry for him, shaking their heads over his foolhardiness in going to Reno, even with everything else going on. Their bounty doesn't even increase, and Styles sulks, which amuses Peter.
"So, who's next?"
he asks, offering Styles a handful of manila folders. Styles chooses a young werewolf who is abducted and tortured for several days before being killed and dismembered. They leave San Francisco and spend 2 weeks in Tucson, soaking in the sunlight while Styles combs through old forum posts to identify the killer. From there, they head to northern Minnesota. This hunter lives in a cabin that's perfect for their purposes, at least an hour away from civilization. They watch him for a while, assessing his defenses. They're formidable, but nothing they haven't dealt with before. A security system, cameras at the end of his driveway, several locks on the doors. They clone his phone so they know that he checks in with his hunter friends at 12:30 every night. Styles runs their phone numbers and finds that the closest is 45 minutes away. Even if he misses a check-in, it shouldn't hinder them.
but they agree to strike late, around 3 o'clock. Peter gathers everything they need and tucks it away in the forest a couple miles away from the cabin. It's nearly pitch black as they make their way through the forest. They can't risk a flashlight, so Peter is guiding Stiles along using his night vision. Stiles has a spell that can improve his, but Peter has told him to use his magic sparingly, in case he needs it later. But it's Peter who steps into the trap, buried under a thin layer of leaves, and it snaps up around his ankle. He gives an involuntary howl of pain, which he chokes back a second later. "Jesus, what happened?" Stiles hisses. "Fuck," Peter grunts. They need light so he can see how bad it is. "Stiles, light." Stiles produces a ball of witch light, looks down and goes pale. Oh, fuck. Peter tends to agree. The bear trap has sunk deeply into his calf, and it won't be letting go anytime soon. His leg is probably broken, and the edges of the trap are coated in wolfsbane, so it won't heal even if they can get it off. He takes a deep breath and tries to banish the pain so he can think clearly. "Do you think you can get it off with your magic?" Stiles grimaces. "I'm not really good at fine control, you know. My disrupt spell might break the trap, but it also might blow off your leg." "All right," Peter grits his teeth. "Then we'll need..." There's a noise from the house. Faint voices. Peter swears underneath his breath. They've been heard. Hunters are coming. He has no idea why there are multiple hunters at this man's house at 3 a.m. They gave themselves away somehow. He has no idea how, and probably never will, but he can hear at least half a dozen voices, maybe more. Stiles is still examining the trap. His human hearing hasn't picked up on the danger yet. "We're going to need some sort of clamp," he says. "I bet the hunter has some stuff. He would have needed them to set up the trap to begin with. Let me go." "No," Peter says, entirely without meaning to. He's a little surprised at himself. But then again, hadn't he always known it was going to end this way? "You need to go. They're coming. 6 or 8 of them, I think." "How did they?" "It doesn't matter," Peter says. "You need to get out of here. You'll never get me free before they get here." He hesitates, because his honest preference would be for Stiles to kill him before he goes. The hunters will torture him for weeks, months, years if they capture him. But he knows that Stiles isn't capable of that, so he doesn't bring it up. "You've learned enough to keep going without me. Make them pay for this." Stiles stares at him, his mouth working soundlessly for a few moments, before he slowly gets to his feet. He looks towards the house, where he can now hear the sound of the hunter's approach. His lip curls up in a wolf-like expression, and Peter feels a swell of pride that momentarily overrides the pain and the fear. "Oh, I'll make them pay," Stiles says in a low voice, and then jogs into the forest. "Damn it, Stiles," Peter hisses at his back, but it's too late. Stiles obviously has no intentions of leaving him here, and as good as he is, taking on 8 hunters on their own turf in a dark forest riddled with traps, it's a recipe for disaster. A moment later, he hears a gunshot, then a shout, then 2 more gunshots, then what sounds like 100 more gunshots. He tugs at his leg more vigorously, despite knowing that it won't do any good, and bites back a howl of desperation. They're going to kill Stiles, his brilliant, incredible son, and he's going to stand here and listen to it happen and not be able to stop it. The forest goes silent. There's a sound that's something between a pop and a thump, and then a scream. More silence. 2 more gunshots. Silence. Then footsteps. Peter bares his teeth at the person approaching, but then a voice says, "It's me," and Stiles emerges from the trees. Peter can't see him very well, but he can smell him. He can tell that Stiles is injured and in pain and covered in blood. "I told you to get out of here," Peter snarls. "Yeah, well, you also told me not to eat a bowl of sugar every morning and call it cereal. And look how well that's working out for you," Stiles says. And Peter huffs out a laugh despite the pain.
I'm gonna go get the clamps. Just hang tight for a minute.
Okay,
Peter says, since there isn't much else he can do. He waits another 10 minutes before Stiles returns again and starts levering the trap open. When his leg comes free, he momentarily blacks out from the pain and finds himself on the ground.
Shit,
he mutters, trying to sit up. Come on. Stiles gets an arm underneath him and helps him to his feet. Peter sways slightly, nearly overbalancing them, before Stiles manages to get them stabilized. They limp along through the forest, and he listens for the sound of anyone approaching. But there's nothing. Finally, he asks,
what was that thump I heard?
Grenade, Stiles says. They threw it at me and I swatted it back. The thing was loaded with buckshot and silver, but it killed them just as good as it would have killed us.
You're injured, Peter says, gritting his teeth against the pain.
Yeah, Stiles says. Peter huffs, annoyed.
How badly?
Stiles hesitates, then admits,
I may have been stabbed a few times.
Stabbed? Jesus Christ, Stiles!
It's not that bad,
Stiles retorts, sounding just as annoyed. You're worse off than I am. My ribs protected my internal organs. That's what they're there for. I stopped the bleeding. I'm fine.
I told you to get out of there.
I will not leave you, Stiles snaps. Do you fucking understand that? Never tell me to do that again, because it is not going to happen. We go down together or not at all. His voice chokes, and he continues. I lost one dad to these assholes. I'm not losing another.
Peter doesn't know what to say to that. He supposes that it's fair. If their situations had been reversed, he sure as hell wouldn't have left Stiles behind. So he can't expect Stiles to be any different.
Finally, he says,
a grenade, huh?
It looked like a relic from World War I, Stiles replies. They make it to their pre-appointed spot with their things. Stiles sends up another ball of witchlight, and Peter can see that he's liberally splattered with blood. His hands and forearms are covered with it, and there are several sizable splotches on his chest and abdomen. Plenty of that blood transferred over to Peter during the walk, so they both strip out of their clothes and throw them into the barrel to be burned. Peter lowers himself to the ground and looks at his injury. The bone is definitely broken, and the puncture marks are inflamed and ugly due to the wolfsbane.
Going to have to burn it out, he says, trying to keep his voice even.
You? Stiles is examining the slashing knife wounds he received. This one needs stitches. The rest will be okay with steri-strips.
Okay.
They take turns patching each other up before setting everything on fire and limping back to the car. I didn't leave an obituary, by the way, Stiles says, as he pulls onto the road. Peter's right leg is injured, so he can't drive. Figured that'd probably be a bad idea, given the givens. Think they'll link this one to the one in Massachusetts?
Maybe. Particularly if any of the victims had contact with each other.
Peter shakes his head.
We'll be out of commission for a few months anyway, so we can lay low.
I just wish I knew how they'd known we were coming, Stiles says.
Me too. I was thinking, maybe it's possible to tell if your phone has been cloned. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah. Stiles drives until sunrise. They ditch the car and get on a bus, heading south. By that night, they're in Dallas. They haven't made reservations there, so Stiles checks them into a motel to crash. He's slept most of the way, but he's still exhausted. They order some takeout and flop down on the beds.
Hey, Peter, Stiles says, much later. We won't be able to keep doing this much longer, will we?
Peter says nothing for a moment before finally admitting,
I don't know.
Okay. Stiles rolls onto his side and falls asleep.